Hello, folks. This is Darren Kirpatla talking to you from the very first podcast out of adifference.blogspot.com. Tonight, Bud Hunt and myself are talking about blogs and blogging, the impact it's had on our classes, and what we're looking at for the future for the shape of blogs in the course of our teaching practice. So, without any further ado, here we go, joining that conversation already in progress. Why I use blogs in my classroom. I had mentioned this to you before, that before I discovered blogs, I had found all sorts of really neat stuff, JavaScripts and animations and all sorts of things that could really help me teach math, and often found myself in my class referring to these things, saying, you know, I wish I could show you this animation, or I wish you could see this JavaScript and play with it and see how these objects are related, or understand the geometry behind this algebra. And then when I hit upon blogs, well, I found a great way and place to kind of reach out to all those different sources on the internet, bring them together in one place, and make it really easy for my students to access it and see exactly what I was talking about. But it was more than that, because it also was an opportunity to give voice to a lot of students that otherwise I would never hear from. And that happened really fast. If you look on my PreCal40S, pc40s.blogspot.com, very early on you'll see that post, Blogging on Blogging. And that class was amazing. It was the second or third class of the semester, and the kind of feedback that I was getting from my students was just incredible. A little while later, there was another post I made. I can't remember the title of it now. I'm going to take a look and see if I can find it as we're talking. But basically, I was talking about how I always tell my students in class to ask questions. And students are very, very, very much afraid of asking questions. And I found this other university professor who made some kind of comment about basically the same thing. And I posted about it. And the next day in class, students just started talking and giving me the kind of feedback, responding directly to that post. It was just an incredible thing, the power that blogs had to connect to students and get them participating in a class that otherwise they might never have done. And that's the main thing. That's some of the main things for me. The name of the post is "Where Have We Heard This Before?" And it's from March 3rd. If anyone wants to look it up.
Okay. We'll put some links in my show notes and maybe your show notes, since we'll probably end up cross-posting this anyway.
Great idea.
That leads me to a couple of questions.
Sure.
How do your students access blogs? Is it mostly at school?
It's mostly at home. It's mostly an activity that's done outside of class. Which actually meets with another one of my goals, that students should learn that learning doesn't end when you leave the classroom. There were a couple of students that access was an issue for. They didn't have internet access at home or computers that they could use. And so what I did was I arranged with the tech at my school to create special accounts for these two students, so that they would have a special login that would take them directly to the blog, where they could read and post and do whatever they wished on the blog. Our school division blocks anything and everything related to blogging.
Oh, wow.
Because, unfortunately, some people blog about some pretty ugly stuff. And so, certainly stuff that's not appropriate for students in a classroom to be looking at. So they've just taken a very wide brush and said no one can look at that. You can't see that through the filter. But on the plus side, my tech is a really great guy, and he makes it really easy for me and my students to get access in school by working with them on an individual basis.
Well, that's handy.
Yeah.
And most of your kids, though, working from home is no problem.
Not at all. Not at all. Everybody, you know what, even those two students that I had those special accounts created for, at this point, they have started using friends' computers, or they've managed to solve the problem at home. I don't know what the details are of that, but now they're actually doing everything from home. So there's no one using it in school anymore. It's all done from home.
Wow, that's very different from my school. I have to provide the time and the access because a lot of my kids just can't do it at home.
Is that so because they don't have access to computers at home?
In some cases, yes. In other cases, they don't have internet or they're holding down jobs.
Yeah, that's rough. Now, how does that work with your, like in your school, you have got your course, your specific blog-related course, but I mean, I imagine you're starting to look at using this in some of your other classes as well. How would you picture that working given the environment that you're working in?
Well, that's something I'm just trying to figure out right now. It seems to me that if I value the technology, I find time in my instruction to give kids access. I wish that I could get all of my kids online at home, but it's not a reality. So we're looking to just add a bunch of time into the instructional day to access blogs.
That's great. So you would be able to provide access to all your students to access blogs and work with blogs and read other blogs in the course of the school day, maybe even in the course of a class?
That's my hope. Right now I've got two classes that I'm looking at for the fall. One would be an elective similar to the blogging course now, and the other is my journalism class. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that blogging and journalism really go hand in hand. First-person reporting and new media, and there's a lot of really great resource blogs out there for that. So that's where we're going.
That's great. You know, I've started having some of my students who are taking more than one class with me. One is the blog-supported course, and then they take another course, and they say, you know, Mr. K, we really should have a blog for this other class, too. And then kids in other classes say, hey, how come they have a blog and we don't? And I'm at the point now where I'm thinking, I've got to start a blog for all my classes. And I was really kind of anxious about that because the time involved. I'm getting more of a handle on it, starting to think maybe I could do this in a timely way, but nonetheless, that is a consideration. And then I had one of my students come, looking at my post that I had made at a difference, and my student came and wrote saying how wonderful he thought the blog was, and how great he thought it was that I would be doing this for all of my classes, and you know, it's echoes again of that post by Ann Davies, Seize the Time.
Well, I don't think I read that.
Oh, you gotta read that. Well, you can find, I linked to it actually in, if you go to A Difference and you look up a post entitled, The Difference Between Now and When.
Okay.
It's my second or third post on the blog. And it's linked to, and that's just a must read for anybody who is trying to incorporate technology into their teaching and is feeling a little overwhelmed about the time commitment and everything associated with that, you know, at home, at school. You got to read that post. It's fantastic.
Oh, okay, I'll make sure we link to it.
Doesn't solve any problems.
I'm actually looking at it right now.
It won't solve the problem, but it's motivating.
Okay. I find that she's very motivating.
Oh, I love it.
She's a great blogging cheerleader.
She really is.
My students didn't believe that elementary kids would blog, and they said it really wasn't okay. And then I showed them some of her kids and what they were doing. And it was great because those kids were saying, well, maybe high school students can't handle blogging. So it was great for them to enter each other's worlds for a few minutes.
Well, it's you know, I describe my blog as a neutron bomb. The impact that it's had on me and my class and my professional development and now at home, my son, who's 8 years old, is very much wanting to start a blog of his own. He sees his dad doing it and sees me, you know, thinking carefully about what I'm going to write and how I'm crafting it, etc. And that fascinates him. And he keeps talking to me about these ideas he has for what he wants to do on his blog. So my wife and I and he are now in the process of discussing, you know, what that might look like, etc.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
That's great. You've really made the learning for him then something exciting and curious and fun.
Yes. Yeah. He's enthused.
So that's
we'll
great.
Have
that's...
To, we'll wait and see what form that takes.
Good luck with that.
Thanks.
I'm curious. I have a child a few years behind, so if you could figure out that policy, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, we're being cautious and careful. And again, I've been really influenced by the work you've been doing with your students and where that's going.
Let me ask you, because I'm trying to figure this out, and you asked me about it. How are your blogs fitting in with the rest of your instruction? Do you find a good merge, or are the blogs sort of on the sidelines, or what's happening there?
Well, it's growing more as I learn more about the technology and play with it more. It's really changed the way I think about how I'm structuring my class. Very recently, just yesterday, I had a post called Bouncing Around. And there was a problem that we were working on in class that's really hard to visualize. And I found this JavaScript that really does an excellent job of showing both the motion of this ball as it bounces, as well as what it looks like, the graph of its height over time, what that would look like, which was a critical understanding students needed in order to solve a problem in their homework. So I had given them the homework, and then on the blog I said, you're going to have trouble with that question, visualizing how these things work. So take a look at this JavaScript, it'll help. And we'll talk about it in class tomorrow.
I'm looking at the post right now. I really like the second part. May I read it?
Sure, please go ahead.
You talk about the animation and that you'll talk about it in class, which I love, but you say, whoa, today was a tough class for me. Actually, the last few have been that way. I feel like I'm out there bouncing around the class, asking questions, trying to get everyone involved, and more often than not, it seems like the room is empty. You're all there in body, but there seems to be a lack of spirit. What's up, folks? Should I shower more often? And then you ask your students to comment. And I love how this blog has an educational purpose,
mm-hmm.
and a personal purpose, and a professional how's the class doing check-in purpose.
Yeah.
It makes your teaching more transparent. You're a human being talking to kids.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. That's really complimentary. I really hope that's what my blog serves to do. Part of the idea behind it is not only to provide access to mathematical tools and materials to help them do better in math, and to give them an opportunity to talk about it and accommodate the new knowledge that they're learning, but also to connect with my students, one with another. A student that doesn't necessarily know another, or maybe might not even speak to that other student in passing in class. But on the blog, they read what each other wrote and they comment to each other about it. And also that connection with me. I like to create a very kind of relaxed, easygoing atmosphere in my classroom. And the blog has helped me to establish a bit of more of that personal connection with the students. And I think that's helping them learn.
It seems to be. The comments on that post, let me read Nadia's.
Please go ahead.
Which was posted this morning.
Yeah.
She says, honestly, Mr. K, this unit just has a lot of terms that we must always remember when you're explaining things, so we're trying to adjust. But I guess the trick on our part is to read, sleep, eat our math dictionary. How great that she could comment. It didn't take class time. It's something that you can learn and see and really get some feedback on your teaching.
Yeah.
And the student is still doing the reading, writing, thinking that I would want in the mm-hmm. classroom.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you picked out Nadia's comment. She's one of those students that is otherwise very quiet. She's a student I might never have heard from. And here she is. Not only am I getting a little insight into what Renati is at, but she's kind of speaking on behalf of the class And you'll notice there's no one jumping in there to say, well, no, that's not the way I see it.
Right.
And I do check with the class to see, you know, not all of them post or comment that often, but I try to check, are they at least reading it? And that varies, but more often than not, most of the kids are reading it. So this comment has probably been seen by a good number of students in the class. And, you know, there she is advocating for them. And I don't know, maybe that's too big a leap to say what Nadia says is true of everyone. But the most important thing for me is, here's Nadia's comments. And if this blog hadn't been there, I never would have heard from her.
That's perfect. That's worth it just by itself.
Yeah. Yeah, and wonderful. That's how I feel about it, too.
That's wonderful. I love that the words become the important thing about a blog, particularly in English. I say that your writing can define who you are,
mm-hmm.
and on a blog, that's so true.
Yeah.
There's no baggage but the words, and that's just great. I didn't know Nadia was the quiet one.
Well, there's a few of them. There's a few of them that are really quiet. She's one of them. There was another student who had been very quiet and recently made a post for the first time. That wasn't Nadia. You know, right above Nadia's comments, you'll see Gerard, and he calls himself Blogster Gerard.
Blogster Gerard, and I believe he's trademarked that.
He has. He's got a little trademark there. Gerard is just an incredible young man. I mentioned him actually in another post over at A Difference. He is, you know, you read his stuff, and it's hard to tell that that's an ESL student, but he is not a native speaker of English, and really? He's actually a recent immigrant to Canada. I think he's been here for less than a year, and if you speak to him, and his accent is unmistakable, you'll hear that he's an ESL speaker. But here's a student who was in my class last semester, actually, my grade 11 class. Nice boy, wonderful student, but very quiet. I never heard very much from him. If you read the Pre-Cal 40S blog, you're going to hear his voice more than any other voice out there. He's all over the place. He's always making comments. He's involved in almost every single post. And the tenor of his writing is so upbeat and so positive. It's incredible. I'm just really, really impressed with him. And I actually told him so today. I really, really think that the strides he's made are fantastic, not just in math. But, I mean, think about this ESL student. And look at how he writes. It's just fantastic.
Very well about mathematical concepts. I'm reading a post of his that's a question. I couldn't even begin to address it. It's about logarithms, and there's very specific notation and language, and that's impressive.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
And what a good example of your point.
Yeah.
We've talked a little bit about some of the successes with blogs in your classroom. What are some of the frustrations or issues that you see working with blogs?
Well, there are some current issues, and then there are some future up-and-coming issues. Currently, I'm still struggling about how to get that 100% participation rate. Not there yet. And with a couple of students, they're so adamant about not getting involved. And I've talked to them. I said, well, maybe it's because they don't have access at home. And I've discovered that's not true. I've discussed, you know, the possibility of commenting anonymously and just letting me know privately, you know, by email, by the way, this comment is me. And there's a few students that are still really resistant to using the blog. And even though I've made it, you know, you get one mark on your test. So at a test out of 30 or 40 marks, one of them is for making a blog. So it's not a lot. But
sure,
it's a shame that some of these students are losing that mark. Some of the gifted students, I guess, can afford to do that. But some of the less gifted students, like, here's a chance to that might make the difference between a pass or a fail. And I'm still trying to figure out what it is that's holding them back from getting involved that way. So those are the current issues I'm dealing with.
Would you say that you have more participators in on your blogs than you did in your classroom.
100%. Oh, there's no question. Like, there's no going back for me.
So it's made strides.
Oh, yeah.
It's just not perfect yet.
No. It's, you know, like anything, it needs its fine-tuning. But with the future now, I'm thinking about, you know, this Pre-Cal 40S blog. I'm going to teach this course again, the same course, next semester. So I'm wondering, do I continue with this blog from where we leave off sometime in June? So we'll have maybe some last post in June, and then the next post is in September. Do I start a whole brand new blog and start it up from scratch? I'd likely be using many of the same links in terms of the learning material that's there, but a lot of the personal stuff is obviously going to be different. Would there be any value to students next semester being able to come back and look at what students this semester wrote? Or for the sake of next semester's group of students, maybe it should be kind of a pristine thing and they should have their own space. I don't know.
Sure, that's a big question.
Yeah,
I see the advantage of the search or the review, but also there is some ownership that mm-hmm. your kids I'm seeing here in this blog.
Oh, yeah. And what, you know, I've been reading some posts about how some people out there are encouraging their students to continue writing after the course ends. And that would be a great, you know, great place for students in this class to continue to work together. That might be a little bit ambitious, thinking that they would do that. But
at the very least, you'd think they'd check in from time to time, maybe say hi.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm just having this idea now as we're talking, that maybe, I've been reading a lot of, you know, Will Richards writes a lot about mentors and mentorship. Maybe this is a way to build in mentorship into the blog. I mean, these are my grade 12 students, so next year they're going to be in university. Not all of them will take math, but some of them might. And they might be interested in hanging around as mentors to the next crop of students.
That's a great idea.
That might be something that, you know, I got to talk to them.
It's a great idea. You probably would only have a few that were interested, but you'd only need a few for it to be useful.
Two or three, yeah. Yeah, that, you know, and I can actually think of a couple of kids off the top of my head that would make great mentors and would probably also be interested in doing it. Yeah, that's okay.
Sounds like a winner for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad we're having this talk tonight, bud.
Me too. Well, you're sort of getting into what's next.
Yes. Yes. And I think, well, that's, you know, there's some issues there that I'm struggling with, but... That's the amazing thing about this technology is the flexibility. It's such a wonderful tool that can be used in such a variety of different ways. The power of blogging is just... Anyone who's been blogging knows exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't blogged, soon as you've been at it about a month, you'll see what it's all about. But now, you also were talking about how you've got your next year, you have your blogging course coming up, you've got your journalism course coming up, and that's going to be a new experience because you won't have used a blog with them yet.
No.
What do your plans look like for that? Or what are your nascent thoughts as you begin to think of next year?
Well, I don't have as formal of a blogging course. It'll probably be almost an after-school thing.
Okay.
But with my journalism students, we publish five times a year, once every 9 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
How wonderful if they could publish their stories as they finish them, you know, show their research, talk to their sources in a public arena like we're doing right now. To me, that's the next step. You take all the learning public. I don't know what it'll look like, and I'm not really afraid of it. When I started blogging with kids, I was scared to death of what might happen. What I've found is that so many people are interested in helping and offering resources and providing positive feedback that the online blogging community is a pretty safe place to take students, and we'll figure it out as we go. And that gives the kids some ownership that they otherwise wouldn't have.
That's, yeah.
So basically, I have no clue, but I'm not worried about it.
When you're ready, it'll come.
Well, when we're ready, we'll have to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Even the brief time that I've had working with blogs, as I hear from other teachers, the things that they're struggling with and the things that happen in their classroom, and more, I kind of hear echoes of Will Richardson. You should be blogging. Yeah. More and more, I'm thinking, more teachers really need to do this. More teachers need to be getting their classes blogging on this.
I find myself saying that more and more to more people. There's an English teacher in my building in particular that I keep saying, well, you should blog about that. And every time I start to say, you should, she fills in the rest. So maybe one day we'll get her blogging.
Yeah.
There's so many important educational stories and things going on, and blogs are a great place to share them and to talk about them and to really figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the future is bright, but what form it's going to take, who knows? I mean, when I think back to 3-4 years ago, and I started making websites to work with my classes to review, and folks that saw that thought that was pretty revolutionary, that was pretty forward thinking. Blogs were not on the radar for me at all. Didn't even know it existed. And 3 years later, this has opened up a completely new world for me. Alan November, in his recent podcast, webcast, talks about how sometime in the future, blogs are going to be blasé. It's going to be old hat. It's not going to be interesting or exciting. My goodness, what's going to be interesting and exciting when blogs become blasé? What's the technology going to look like?
That's a great question, and I don't have an answer.
No.
I'm so excited that blogs aren't blasé yet, because right. There's so much that we can do with them right now.
Yeah.
I'm so glad there exists, too, because you mentioned creating a web page, and my blood started to heat up a little bit. One of the reasons that blogs are so wonderful for me is that I want to be online, but I don't know how to code HTML or do all that design stuff or all those things that are so important to a lot of technology people. Well, I want to put my words online. And yeah. Blogs have really facilitated that.
Well, I really look at blogs, as facilitating much more than that, because as you get comfortable with the technology, you want to do more. And it won't be too long before you're learning different HTML tags to make your posts more interesting, to customize your blog, to change the appearance of different things on your blog. And that's one of the great things about blogs, is that it's really a stepping stone, not just for the content that teachers use, that they're teaching, but also for kids to learn how to use technology in a meaningful way. Like, my students are learning all kinds of things about, I was teaching a kid the other day, the HTML code to insert an image into the blog. And this is a student that never did any computer science, and now he's learning HTML coding and tagging in images and really actually some sophisticated stuff working with images.
Yeah, a lot of my kids already know that. It's been great to have them teach me, because then they have some ownership in our process. I've been really glad that there are web apps out there like Flickr and whatnot to help me learn photographs. But I did say something the other day that I never thought I would say.
Yeah.
I said, there's a really neat JavaScript that you can run. And I can't believe I said that. I caught myself and said, wow, that was a little geeky. We all need to go lie down. We moved on.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. Like, the functionality you can access with Java is just wonderful. And you were saying about learning HTML. Well, I learned everything I know about HTML from Alan Levine, and I don't think he even knows that, because he just put it up as this website, writing HTML, and it's probably one of the most fantastic educational websites that I've ever seen, specifically about how to write HTML. It's just brilliantly done. I think everything that man touches is gold.
glad to know about that. Definitely be linking to that soon.
Yeah, check it out. You'll learn a lot. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we should probably move on a little bit.
Yeah.
Both the people listening to this probably have other things to do. It's been a fascinating conversation.
It has been.
Looking forward to the next one.
Me too. Wiki's number two. Us. Yeah.
Wikis are going to... They're really changing my teaching and the collaboration on creating texts and answering questions and all kinds of things. So hope you'll tune in for that.
Yeah, that should be a good one. Take care, folks, and we'll see you here sometime real soon.
All right.
There you have it, folks. That was Bud Hunt and myself talking about blogs and blogging. Check back here real soon. Hopefully in less than a week, we'll have a new podcast up here, and this time we're talking about wikis.